Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, I'm chasing after you, hallelujah. If that's your confession, go ahead and praise God, hallelujah. We're chasing after you, oh God, hallelujah. We need you more and more, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it, hallelujah. What a mighty God, hallelujah. We're chasing after you, oh God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you, and we magnify your name on today. This is the day you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we thank you for this virtual sanctuary. We thank you for the ability to come and assemble ourselves together on one accord of one mind, oh God, chasing after you, seeking after you, oh God, looking and longing to hear a word from you, oh God, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask, Father God, that you will have your way even during this next 45-50 minutes, oh God, as we are continue to abide in your presence in the sanctuary, oh God. Have your way, oh God. Bless those who are here, oh God. So many have come, oh God, and we ask, Father God, for a special blessing upon their lives, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you know what your people need on today, God. Speak, Lord. Speak to your people through the preacher on today, God. Pastor Sharon Richardson, oh God, speak, oh God, a clear word. Speak, Father God. Father God, from the heart of the preacher, oh God, we just thank you and we praise you for what you're about to do in this place, even as we assemble ourselves to worship, even as we go, Father God, even deeper into worship, oh God, we just ask that you have your way, change lives, save souls, set the captives free, encourage somebody on today, oh God, and at the end of this time, we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Bless those who are here, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, hear our prayer on today, more and more. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. We welcome you to the sanctuary on today. God surely is good and worthy to be praised. Listen, there is a word from the Lord, and God is about to speak to our hearts on today. Hallelujah. Right after this next worship song, amen, right after this next worship song, we will hear from our preacher. Our guest preacher on today is Pastor Sharon Richardson. Amen. Pastor Sharon Richardson is a mighty man of God. The Lord is using him mightily over in Jersey City, New Jersey. My husband, Pastor Anthony, and I are blessed to know him, blessed that he is a friend of ours. Amen. We don't get to see him much, but we respect the God in him. He is the pastor again. He and his wife, co-pastor Rebecca Richardson, serve as the under-shepherds over at World Outreach Christian Church, 122 Grant Avenue in Jersey City, New Jersey. The zip code is 07305. They meet on Sundays at 10 a.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. So they are meeting tonight at 7 p.m. Their website is www.wocnj.com. Pastor Sharon Richardson is also on Facebook, and you'll be able to connect with him there. I wanted to give his information because after you hear from the loins of this man of God, you will want to connect with him and even go over to worship with him and his beautiful wife at their church over in Jersey City. I'm going to get out of the way, and right after this next worship song, the next voice that you will hear will be that of our friend, our guest preacher, Pastor Sharon Richardson. So let us worship God, and right after that, we will hear the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah.
falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I ever done. In his arms I feel protected. In his arms, never dead, connected. In his arms I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. Oh, can you sing with me? Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Oh, falling in love with Jesus was the best thing.
I count it a privilege and an honor to be here this afternoon. Thank God so much for Pastor Rebecca and Pastor Anthony Simmons over there at New Creations Christian Ministries. I tell you, you guys are doing a wonderful work, and we're just glad, amen, just to know you as well. One thing I say about you as this beautiful couple is that you meet a lot of people in the body of Christ, a lot of great men and women of God, but sometimes you don't meet great men and women. And so I'm privileged to know you guys, not as just great man and woman of God, but just great people. Amen. And so we thank God that you're anointed on top of that. Amen. God is good. Well, listen, we're not going to prolong the time. Amen. But God has dropped a word that I believe will bless God's people. And so if you have your Bibles, I encourage you, turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter. And I'm going to read a few verses there, and then I want to read just one verse in the book of Revelations. Amen? And so 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 10, and it reads and says, "Now David said, is there still anyone who is left in the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, 'Are you Ziba?' He said, 'At your service.' Then the king said, 'Is there not still someone in the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?'" If we were in church, I would tell you to look at your neighbor and say, "There's a blessing looking for you." Amen. And he goes on to say, "And Ziba said to the king, 'There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet.' And so the king said to him, 'Where is he?' And Ziba said to the king, 'Indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar.' Then King David said and brought him out, sent to the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, 'Mephibosheth,' and he answered, 'Here is your servant.' So David said to him, 'Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually.'" I'm going to stop right there, and I just want to shoot over to the book of Revelations, the 4th chapter, and just want to read verse 1. And it says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, 'Come up higher, come up higher.'" And for just a few moments, I want to just share a message entitled, "Come Up Higher." Amen. You know, as a pastor, you get the opportunity to see and converse with so many people. And, you know, one of the things that I've learned is that though many people, they believe that God will bless them when they come before him, they don't really enjoy the benefits of living with him. I'm going to say that again. Many people believe that they will be blessed when they come before him, but they don't enjoy the benefits of living with him. I like to put it this way. There's a great difference in the blessing of a girlfriend and the blessing of a wife. A girlfriend can ask for a blessing, but a wife doesn't have to ask because she is a wife. She belongs. Everything that belongs to her husband belongs to her. And so she gets to walk in whatever her husband has. And so there's a difference between coming to God and expecting the benefits of living with him. Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5, and I just want to read this. Let me read this out of the King James, and then I want to read this out of the Message Bible. I really believe this will bless you. And it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." There's power and praise this afternoon, family. And it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Watch this now. "And forget not all of his benefits." Amen. See, we were taught just to serve him, and we ought to serve him, but we need to know today that there's a benefit in serving God. Verse 3 says, listen to the benefits. It says, "Who forgives all of your iniquities." If I had the time, we would talk about this word iniquity, which goes a little deeper than sin, because sin many times is what we act upon. Iniquity is what was in our hearts. Many people say, "Pastor, I didn't do it." Yeah, but you thought about it, and you just didn't have an opportunity. But I'm so glad that God sees what I wanted to do and forgives that as well. Y'all forgive me, but I feel like preaching a little bit. And he says, "Who heals all of your diseases." Aren't you glad that there's nothing that a doctor can diagnose that Jesus cannot heal? Amen. I don't care what it is. God heals cancer just like he heals the common cold. Verse 4 says, "Who redeems your life from destruction. And I like my church. I don't know about many churches out there, but we've been blessed to have some people come through the doors, just like Pastor Rebecca and Pastor Anthony, who's come with a testimony, who's come because they've been redeemed from some stuff. Amen. And the truth be told, we've all been redeemed. I don't care what level of redemption we had. If it had not been for the blood of Jesus, we would all be lost this morning. He says he redeems our lives from destruction. It says he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. And then it says he satisfies your mouth with good things. Ah, see, if you were from the old school like I was, see, we were raised just to be satisfied with anything that was put on our table. Mama used to say, don't question me about what I'm cooking. You just eat what I put on your table. And though I thank God for government cheese, I don't know about you, but I like the fact that my cheese is individually sliced right now, because God says, I'll bless you and satisfy your mouth with good things. And he says, finally, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Let me just read that real quick out of the Message Bible. And it says, oh, my soul, bless God from head to toe. I will bless his holy name. Oh, my soul, bless God. Don't forget a single blessing. It says he forgives your sins, everyone, heals your diseases, everyone. He redeems you from hell, saves your life, crowns you with love and mercy, a paradise crown. He wraps you up in goodness, beauty eternal, and renews your youth so you are always young in his presence. God will keep you looking young. Amen, somebody. And so one of the things that causes us to not just visit the blessings of God, but actually walk in them, is what Jesus said in John 15 and 5, and he says, I am the vine. He says, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Jesus says that the way that we stay blessed is by staying connected. Oh, boy, as pastors, I tell you, it's amazing how further many people would be if they would just stay connected. Amen. We allow the enemy or trials and tribulations. The first thing the devil wants us to do is cut us off from the life source. So why is it that when we were getting high and drinking, bad times didn't keep us out the bar, but they keep us out of church? Why is it that we continue to give our money to the club and to the dope man, but the minute things get a little tight, we don't want to give tithes or offering? I don't want to get nobody's business, but I'm a pastor. You pray for me. Amen. But the thing that God says is stay connected. Amen. The same God that brought you out will bring you in if you stay connected. And so he says, instead of coming to him hoping to be blessed, we can live blessed when we abide in him. Another scripture that just comes to mind is Isaiah 55, and this is verses 8 through 9, and it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Remember, we're teaching from the subject, come up higher. Too many of God's people are not living on God's level. Amen. I'm going to say that again. Too many of God's people are not living on God's level. In other words, there are many things that we are calling blessings, which should actually simply be a way of life. Many people say, I know I'm blessed. Why? Because God healed me. Yes, that's wonderful, but the truth is you should be walking in healing every day of your lives. Someone else says, I know I'm blessed, Pastor. Why? Because God paid my bills. Yeah, that's wonderful. But the truth of the matter is we ought to be walking in debt freedom every day of our lives. Somebody says, Pastor, I'm blessed because I got a little extra. Amen. I got two extra dollars that I didn't have before. And yeah, thank God with you, brother. But the truth of the matter is we should be walking in overflow every day of our lives. And what I've learned is that many times God's people are shouting over what they should be expecting. Amen. It's amazing that, you know, if when we work 40 hours a week, and it's amazing how when they give us a check, we don't strike up the keyboard, put it in A flat and tear the job up, because we expected that check. And though we appreciate the job, we don't shout when the reward comes. Many times I believe some of God's people are shouting extra hard because the truth of the matter is that they didn't really expect God's reward. In Matthew 6 and 25, Jesus told his disciples, he said, "Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed?" He says, in other words, when you belong to me, you shouldn't be worrying about how you're going to be taken care of. He says, that's part of the package, he says. Stop losing sleep. God says, I never sleep nor slumber so that you can rest. He says, I'll stay up all night so that you can go to bed. God says, don't worry about tomorrow. I got tomorrow covered. So one songwriter says, we may not know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. Now, one of the reasons I believe we live below God's expectations is because we are still allowing our past, our circumstances, or our surroundings to set the standards in our lives. We are allowing sometimes our past, our current circumstances, or even our surroundings to set the standards in our lives. Now, watch this word standard, because it has two basic Hebrew definitions, and I'm not going to try to wow you with my Hebrew knowledge, amen, because I got a concordia like most everybody else, bless his holy name. But one of the definitions for standard is the word banner. The other definition is the word, and it means flee or escape. To flee or escape. So this word standard either means it's a banner or it means to flee or escape. Now, Isaiah 59 and 19 says this. It says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard, shall lift up a banner, shall lift up a way of escape against him. Now, one of the ways we escape the attack of the devil is by simply raising the standard. Amen. Just raise the standard. Now, the devil always likes to attack us with things which should be beneath us. And when the standard is there, the enemy can't now attack you because the standard says, I'm above this. You cannot be tempted with things that are beneath you. Let me see. How can I put it where we can understand it today? There's a young man who's trying to seduce a young lady into getting into the bed with him before he puts on the ring. But her standard speaks where her voice doesn't have to say a word. Because before her voice has to say no, her standard has already said, I'm above sleeping with somebody who's not my spouse. Her standard. Your standard, when people are still trying to pull you into circles that are beneath you, come on now. How can you stay clear from drugs hanging around drug addicts? I mean, I believe in reaching the lost. I believe in ministering to those. But sometimes there's a difference in ministering and hanging. And oftentimes we are hanging with people who end up becoming our demise. But when the standard is raised, the standard speaks for you. The standard says, I don't hang around people who bring me down. The standard will begin to rise up against the enemy's flood. The standard says that though I may be living from paycheck to paycheck now, it may be where I am, but it's not my standard. And so I'm not settling for living like this. If I have to start my own business, so be it. If I have to do another job, so be it. If I gotta just sow more, I'm gonna do what I have to do, because I don't believe that I've been called to live into the wilderness when the promised land is in my view. We were in church. I would tell you to tell your neighbor, just raise the standard. Amen. Raise the standard. And so in 2 Samuel 9, let me give you a quick little backdrop. What's going on here is that David has become the king of Israel, and God has blessed him and given him peace from all his enemies. Now, the funny thing about David is that when, if you know the story, David was a little old shepherd boy. Amen. And by looking at David there, he wasn't much to look at, but he had a heart of worship. God, it's amazing what God can do with people who have a heart to worship him. God will jump over quiet people and give a quiet man, amen, take a quiet man's blessing and give it to somebody less qualified because they had the good sense to open their mouths. I'm scared to be around people who are quiet in God's presence. Come on now, you can scream for the Jets, you can scream for the Giants, but you quiet on God? I mean, last time I checked, nobody from the Giants, Jets, nor the Brooklyn Nets are coming to my house to pray for me when I'm sick. No one is going to pay my bills when I'm in trouble. And so why am I going to shout for somebody who won't do anything for me but sit down on the God who does everything for me? He had a heart of worship, and because his heart of worship, God went to Saul, who Saul had position, but he didn't have position. What am I saying? Come on, Pastor, that doesn't make sense. He had position, but he didn't have position. What am I saying? He was in the position of king, but he never took on the position of worship. Amen. Sometimes you could be in a high place, but the only way to stay there is to remain low in your heart. And so because King Saul wouldn't position himself properly, and when it came to worship, God says, I'm going to find me a man after my own heart. And so God sends Samuel to anoint David to be king. Watch this now, while Saul is still on the throne. I want to tell you this afternoon, amen, that he was anointed king while there was another king still sitting on the throne. Please, family, stop tripping because you see somebody sitting in the seat that God has assigned for you. Amen. Don't you know that right now somebody's building your house? Amen. And they're going to make it just how you like it. They're going to put the right things in the right places, put the pool in the backyard. And don't get mad when they go bankrupt. That was just a setup for you to get the house that you wanted without paying the price that the world had to pay. Don't get upset because somebody tried to buy a car that they couldn't afford. And so when the car went back on the market, the market value had dropped so low that you bought a brand new car at a used car price. Somebody sitting in the blessing God has called you to sit in. I wish I had some single women on this line right now, because there's a woman who's getting on the nerves of the man who's going to be your future husband. You don't hear me this afternoon, but I'm going to keep it moving because I ain't got much time and I got a long way to go and a short time to get there. And so God raises David up. Not only did he raise him up, but he raised him up in Saul's house. God help me right there. He raised him up in Saul's house. See, that's why we have to get used to having haters around. If you can't grow or you can't do it in front of your haters, you'll never get there. What am I saying? The Bible says that he prepares a table before us in the presence of my enemies, and you'll never eat until you can eat in front of people that hate to see you eating. I hope you caught that. Amen. And so don't get upset because God seems to be raising you up in the midst of people who can't stand you. Praise the Lord. And so not only does God raise up David and Saul's son Jonathan become best of friends. They become best of friends. God will always give you an inside track. He'll give you favor with the right people. You don't need favor with everybody. Stop trying to get everybody to like you. I don't need everybody to like me. All I need is the right person to like me. If God just sends me one person can open the floodgates. If I had time, I would let you know how, even in our church, how God brought back one soul, but she didn't come empty handed. She brought about 30 people with her. I'm not going to belittle that point, but stop trying to get everybody to like you. Just focus on the right one. And so God connects David to the right one, and because he was the right one, he made a covenant with Saul, with David rather. And even though Saul was his father, Jonathan says, David, because I love you, I'm going to let you know everything that my Father is going to try to do against you. The Bible says that God will not let anything come upon us unaware. Have you ever just had a feeling, had an inkling, and just something said, something told me this was going to happen, something told me this was going to work out of this way? Well, stop calling it something. It wasn't something. It was the Holy Ghost saying, I got you covered. And before the devil can get his plan together, I've already weighed a may of escape. See, we lose too much sleep worrying about what the devil's trying to do. Let's just begin to shout over what God is already going to do. And by the time, God help me, I ain't got but 2 minutes left, and so we're going to try to get as far as we can. But by the time we get to 2 Samuel 9, King Saul and his sons, including Jonathan, are dead. And David, after he comes into his place of prosperity, see, true people of God, you're uncomfortable being prosperous by yourself. If I was back in the hood, we'd say it ain't no fun. Amen. You can figure out the rest. But when you're really blessed of God, it doesn't feel good just being there all alone. I'll bring it back to date. Let me see, for my 30 and above, Billy D. Williams said, what good is success if there's nobody to share it with? And so David begins to ask, is there anyone left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? I'm not going to be able to finish this today, but I want to stay right there for a minute. He says that it ain't that Mephibosheth did anything, but for his daddy's sake, I want to bless him. I wish I had some people on this line today that can be honest and say, I didn't deserve it, but somebody prayed for me. That I'm so glad that grandmama and big mama, that they covered me when I couldn't cover myself. That I'm standing in a place right now that I didn't earn, that I don't even deserve. Sometimes God will give you stuff. God will bless you so good that it will make you uncomfortable. Have you ever had God give you a job that you're not qualified for? Amen. And you're sitting in a place, but you're uncomfortable because you're saying, I didn't do anything to deserve this. Have you ever had God send you a man, send you a woman, send you a thing your way, send you a dress that was so expensive that you were scared to let anybody see the price tag because they thought that you thought that you were all of that? But what they don't understand is that it didn't cost you a dime. All that cost you was a praise. I'm just trying to figure out, is there anybody today that can say, I don't deserve it, but I'm going to walk in it anyhow? God help me up in here. God help me up in here. And so David begins to ask the question, is there anyone left who I can bless for Jonathan's sake? And so David had given his father a word. Amen. And even though the father had died, the word still remained. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I have sent it. God says that when I put a word out there, he says, it's coming to pass. Now, it's up to us whether it comes to pass in my life. But God says, if you don't receive it, I'll send it to somebody in your family, in your circle, in your area that will take that word and run with it. That's why I tell people around me, act like you don't want it if you want to, because one of the ways we let God know that we want what he's saying is how we respond to the word. That's why if God gives you a word and you don't shout right, I'll shout for you because I'll take mine and yours. Amen. God says that my word is not respect of person. He said whoever can grab it can get it. And so David said, I'm looking for somebody to do that, to do what I promised to daddy that I would do. He says, I'm just looking for somebody who will be willing to believe and receive the word. I'm just going to make one more point, and I'm gonna cut it loose today. But so when he's looking for somebody to receive and believe the word, he calls a man named Ziba. Ziba. He was a servant in the house of Saul. And what I found interesting is that when I looked up his name, Ziba, name meant statue, station, is very similar to the word standard. Isn't that something? We talked about lifting up a standard. And so here comes the standard and tells him that Jonathan has one son who still lives named Mephibosheth. Now, watch this. We're going to close with this one. Mephibosheth, his name means to dispel, to eliminate, and watch this, to drive off Baal. Now, for those of you that know, Baal was an idol god. He was a symbol of the devil. And so, in other words, Mephibosheth's name meant the devil is a liar. God help me up in here. And so, even though Mephibosheth's condition said one thing, his name meant the devil is a liar. I just came to tell you this morning that no matter what your circumstances say, no matter what your condition says, at the end of the day, God named you before he placed you in any situation, and before it got bad, he already said that the devil is a liar. I wish that there was about two or three people that would slap high five with your own self and say, and look in the mirror and say, I see what I'm going through. I see what it looks like. I hear what the doctors are saying, but God is calling me up higher. I'm not God's girlfriend. I'm his woman. I'm his wife, and because God is not just my God, he's my father, he's my friend, he's my husband. No matter what the devil brings my way, that devil is a liar, and I refuse to lower the standard. Family, I pray that that bless you this afternoon. Amen. Continue to walk with God. Continue to trust God. Continue to know that if God be for you, he's more than the whole wide world against you. God bless you.
Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. My God, that devil is a liar. Amen, hallelujah, my God. Pastor Emily, I tell you, the word was rich, coming from the loins of Pastor Chiron Richardson on today. Hallelujah.
Amen, I concur. I was tremendously blessed on the edge of my seat. Glory be to God. Man of God, God used you mightily today. I believe that somebody's coming up higher. I believe that somebody's thinking has been elevated. I believe somebody's about to go to another dimension. Glory be to God, another realm in God. And that word won't come back void. You said so much, my brother. Pastor, you talked about coming up higher and living on God's level. Living on God's level. But one of the key things that stuck out with me, and maybe you can just talk about this a little more, that piece about abiding, remaining, staying in the presence of the Lord. Too many believers are getting out of position. And you know, if we're wimpy, we can't win.
Amen.
Yes, the warfare is raging. Yes, we're in the last days, and the devil's intensifying his warfare. Are there scriptures or there methods of prayer? How can you help our listener today who feel discouraged, who don't want to get up in the morning, especially when the doors of the church are open, that person that's so frustrated they can't put one foot before the other and get to the house of prayer?
Amen. Well, one of the things, man, I'm actually going to be talking about prayer tonight, and the Bible says to pray without ceasing or without stopping. And what we have to do, man, I believe that as new believers, is that we have to make serving God go from being an event to a lifestyle. Prayer has to become like breathing. Amen. And so you don't stop breathing because things get bad. Praise and worship has to become like the air. It's just part of what we do. And so I think that we sometimes come to church or we do religious things, but we don't change our lifestyle. I'll put it this way. It's just like somebody trying to lose weight. If you've ever tried to lose weight, you learn that diets don't work. What you have to do is change your lifestyle. Certain things I just don't eat anymore. Certain things I just don't do anymore. And so it becomes a part of who I am every day.
Man, that is so powerful. That is so powerful. You can fool some of the people all the time, some of the people many times, but you can never fool God. And hypocrisy, Jesus, I'm not calling anybody a hypocrite, but Jesus addressed that thing, meaning they had all the right jargon, the right language, but in their hearts, and that's why you talked about David, in their hearts, it was far from the things of God. And one more point before I give it back to Pastor Rebecca. You talked about the enemy's strategy, and Mephibosheth is so powerful that you used him, because God showed me, although he was paralyzed in both legs, although he could not walk to the king's table on his own, farm the land that the king gave him, he was still here. Glory to God.
Amen.
Is there anyone left of the household of Saul? That tells me that everybody's gone. But Mephibosheth, And some, oh, I feel a glory be to God. I just feel a praise break. And the fact that we're still here as this year is getting ready to close out in a few weeks, I speak to that person that, that still has opportunity. You know,
amen.
we look back over this year in retrospect, and sometimes we're going to go out this year maybe with some of the things that we believe in God for, and we may go out empty-handed. But encourage somebody today, because Mephibosheth, the fact that he was still here, got to eat at the king's table.
Amen. Well, just, you know, there's a scripture, and I believe it's Psalms 150, if I'm not mistaken, but it says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. And at first glance, that seems like a pretty simple scripture. But when you look at it at a second glance, what you understand is that in order to have breath means you have had to survive. Amen. There are many people that have went through what we went through, but they're not breathing. And so sometimes the fact that we're breathing means that I may be broken, but I'm breathing. I'm still here. I may be wounded, but I'm breathing. I'm still here. May have lost my house, but I'm breathing. I'm still here. Somebody who I love walked out of my life, broke my heart, but you know what? I weebled and wobbled, but I didn't fall down. And sometimes we underestimate the power of our next breath. So that's why the next time you take a breath, I don't care if you're breathing with tears coming down your face, you still breathing. There's about 20 million people that wish they had an opportunity to do what we do daily and we take for granted. God says to remind us of the rich man and Lazarus. That old rich man said, man, if I had one more breath, I would use it to tell everybody about the goodness of the Lord. And so we may not be where we want to be, but we're still breathing.
Jesus. Pastor Rebecca, I know we want him to pray before we close out because he's going to seal that word with prayer. But any final thoughts that you have?
Amen. Hallelujah. It's his powerful word. No, the preached word was, it just covered it. I'm just rejoicing in my soul, the preached word, and even those last 2 points that he brought out just making me want to run. You know, I'm still here, and, you know, just thanking God for the opportunity to praise him and have a proper response to his word. I mean, I don't want to say too much because the word has gone forth, and I'm just so blessed by the word. And I thank you, Pastor Jerome Richardson, for coming and blessing us on today. Hallelujah. I'm blessed, Pastor Anthony. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I see some hands raised on the noontime service. We don't take calls because we want this word to go forth. We have about 2,000 people that listen to the archive, so we don't want too many voices other than the preacher's voice because we want this word to be able to inspire you to come up higher. Ha. Come up higher. Amen. So, Pastor Sharon, if you don't mind, we want you just to pray for those who are here, even those who had their hands raised, as the Lord leads you, according
Amen.
To the word that you delivered us on today. Will you just pray for those who are in assembly on today? Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Father, God, we just come before you. And God, I'm so grateful because you know what your people need, God. God, we look at things, but you see the hearts. You see what we need, God. And so, God, I'm praying right now that you would inspire dreams to come back to life, God, because somebody left their dream on the lower level, but you're telling them, don't just come up here, but bring your dream with you. God, I believe there's somebody who's believing you for a lost loved one, God, who they felt like they left behind. But God, I just believe by faith, God, that not only are you bringing them up, but God, you're bringing family members higher, God, because you're calling your people to enter into your presence, God. You're calling your people, God, to worship you in a higher place, God. You're calling your people to believe again, God. There were some things that the devil said would never happen. He said to somebody on his prayer line, look at you. You're foolish. You stepped out on faith and nothing came through. God, I feel the Holy Ghost. But God is telling you today that there is no such thing as a loss in the kingdom. Hallelujah. There's no such thing as a loss in the kingdom. God says that I will be indebted to know, man, and everything that you did for me, everything that you did following me, it may look like loss, but all it's doing is growing down. Hallelujah. If you know how trees work, they grow down before they grow up. God says, I'm giving your dreams some roots. I'm giving your vision some roots. I'm giving your faith some roots. So when it comes back up, no devil in hell can knock it back down because that thing has been rooted in me. God, I thank you for bringing your people higher. Let them know that their test is going to be a testimony. And all we have to do is stay connected, God. We have determined in our hearts that no matter what comes, no matter what goes, God, we have that testimony that if I perish, let me perish, God. I'm going to see the King, God. I refuse to let everything pull me out of my place with you, God. I refuse to be pulled lower than the standard has said. Jesus, you are the standard, and we serve you wholeheartedly. Thank you for what you're doing in the lives of all your people. Thank you for this awesome man and woman of God. Thank you for Pastor Rebecca and Pastor Anthony, God. Continue to bless their work. Continue to bless their hands. Continue to bless their hearts, their life, their church. Bless everything that they set their hands to do. And, God, I just receive it now. We thank you, God, that you're releasing glory on this prayer line. We thank you that you're releasing, God, your presence. We thank you that you're releasing a next level anointing in the lives of your people. And we give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Listen, it's offering time. We want you to send your offering on this day, and those who are listening to the archive, send your offerings to Pastor Chiron Richardson, World Outreach Christian Church, 122 Grant Avenue, Jersey City, New Jersey. As a matter of fact, I don't think that's his mailing address. Go over to his website at www.woccnj.com. And Pastor Chiron, where can we send offerings? Amen. We want to pour into your heart. You know, we want to sow into this word. We want to bless you for being a blessing to us on today. Where can we and the people send our offerings?
Oh, well, amen. Our P.O. Box is P.O. Box 15047. Once again, that's P.O. Box 15047. That's in Jersey City, New Jersey. And the zip is the same, 07305.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If you want to be an offering, a blessing, if you want to be a blessing, and I know that you do, go ahead and sow a seed into this word. You know, we take an offering every week here at our virtual sanctuary, but we don't want you to send your offerings to us this week. We want you to sow into the man of God because he has truly been a blessing to us on today. Amen. Hallelujah. We believe that God's going to bring forth he's going to bring forth a divine manifestation as a result of your sowing. You're sowing into good ground. Amen. Hallelujah. And as you give, it will be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. How do you know when you're listening to a preacher if it's not a scam when they ask for money? When they don't ask for money for themselves, but when they tell you to sow into somebody else, you got to hear me on today. To God be the glory. The work of the kingdom will go forth. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, it's not about the money. It's about saving souls and changing lives. Amen. And if you, the Bible clearly tells us that we receive in the things of the natural as we are, as we receive in the things of the spiritual, as somebody pours into us spiritually, that is only right to pour back into them naturally. Amen. So I encourage you to sow on today. And if you need that information, again, listen to the archives or hit me up on Facebook or Pastor Chiron Richardson on Facebook and be a blessing to the man of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Anthony, I don't know if you had anything additional before we go down from this place.
Amen. I strongly also recommend that the people send that offering to his P.O. box. He's doing a powerful work in the city of Jersey City. The kingdom is advancing. Amen. His church is very effective in that community, and I thank God for him and his wife, Pastor Rebecca, and the World Outreach Church family. They are dear, wonderful friends of ours, and we love them. So, again, sow into his life personally. You just poured out the day, Pastor, and we thank God for you. People of God, you hear what he said prophetically. He said somebody's building your house prophetically. Glory be to God. Your spouse is being ready prophetically. He said there's a position that God has preordained for you to walk in and occupy in the name of Jesus. If you don't faint, be not weary. You'll reap that harvest. But, Pastor, I want to pray for you very briefly. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this man of God. Thank you for his ministry. Thank you for the church family, Lord, the flock that he shepherds in the name of Jesus, Lord. Meet every need, glory be to God. We seek increase and abundance over his life, Lord. Thank you for the virtue that was poured out today. Renew, restore, Father God, replenish every ounce of anointing that he poured out today. So, Lord, we thank you for his life. Satisfy him with long life. Prosperity and abundance will be in his house. I thank you for his marriage. I thank you for his mind. I thank you for his ministry. Cover this man to God. Put a hedge around his life, Lord. Everything he do shall prosper in the name of Jesus. We seek blessings over his life, Lord. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against him shall be able to prosper. So, Lord, we thank you that you continue to order his steps in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for Pastor Tyrone Richardson. Thank you for his life, his ministry, and his willingness to say yes to your will on a daily basis. So bless him indeed. Enlarge his territory. Glory be to God. So, my brother, we thank God for you. Pastor, that's all I have as we sign off. People of God, again, come up higher. Don't be yoked up with the wrong folk. Let's all bring God's name glory. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Meet us this Sunday over at New Creation Christian Ministries, 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. And if you're in the Jersey City area and you want to go over and worship with our World Outreach Christian Church, there at 122 Grant Avenue, Jersey City, New Jersey. And their service is at 10 a.m. Amen. You might be able to catch two in one Sunday. Go over there at 10 and come over to New Creation at 11, at 12. Amen. Hallelujah. You get there by 12. You're getting there in time to hear the word. Amen. And on Wednesday night, this Wednesday tonight, you can go over to World Outreach at 7 p.m. Amen. They're having their study of the word. Amen. Hallelujah. So let God bless you. Amen. Be in position to be a blessing and to come up higher. God bless you, Pastor Jerome, and thank you for being with us. We ask that you give us our benediction on today as we go down from this place.
Amen, amen. Well, we close it out and just the way we do in church, amen. And we do it in prayer. We say, Father, just cover this time. Thank you for your people. Thank you, God, for covering your people. Thank you for keeping your people. And until the next time, we promise to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thank you.
Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't pray. I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to breathe. My heart's torn in pieces. don't have much to bring. My heart's torn to pieces. It's my all.